Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, Army fans. It's game week. I know it has been a minute since we had an Ask for Football podcast and said we have football this week, but we have football. Friday night, Tarleton State. Let's get into it. It's your host, Jordan, in Huntsville, Alabama, joined by Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Dana E. Cabeza in Coastal Connecticut. Gentlemen, football's here. How are we feeling? Rob?
Pretty good, man. Like, got the week zero jitters out of the way, did all the setting up and everything, troubleshooting. So I got through, like, basically week one shenanigans, which most teams are going to be going through this week. Hopefully Army has got those things hammered out. And talked about it a little bit on the roundtable, but I think, EJ Warner might be the first victim of the transfer portal. Like, third year, third school. You're a junior, man. You got to get those numbers if you're trying to get into the league. And I just don't see him developing as a quarterback. So, thank goodness for Coach Munkin and retaining as many players as we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, how are we feeling?
Good, man. Fired up for this weekend. Headed to the Firsty Club for the first time in 30 years. And, dude, I've heard everything about the Firsty Club. So I am so looking forward to seeing how much it's changed. People are like, you won't believe what it looks like now, which I have trouble even envisioning. I'm so fired up for this game. I think it's a pretty interesting matchup, too.
Yeah. So they redid it. My Firsty class was the first class I got to enjoy it the whole year.
Okay.
So they had all the three or four classes before us or whatever, they were like the Cow Club in iCall. And they changed the rules for my class. It was supposed to be the Firsty Club, and then they felt really bad about the class of 2019 and they were getting excluded and it wasn't fair.
What?
So they also turned the Firsty Club into the Cow Club. So if you want to talk about the softest class ever, that's the class of 2019. They got
why do we need a cow club?
Beast. It was ridiculous. They got every break and 2018 got screwed. But that's, and James isn't here to argue the other way. So, Core has 100%. Other thing I want to talk about before we jump into it is some of our friends in the Firsty Club came up with a bingo card, and apparently Rob, Dan, and I have some isms that we say frequently, apparently. So I realized I just hit the one where it talks about when I was a cadet story. Yeah, you can go ahead and mark that off on your bingo card. I had to be very conscious to not say Rob in Vietnam. Like I now have kind of have a little bit of a complex, and I'm now very self-conscious about the things I say. So thank you to those gentlemen in the Firsty Club for putting this together for us.
Yeah. Also, guys, just keep in mind, you have to listen to both shows to actually win it, because it's a blackout rule. So there's going to be references that are only going to happen on the College Football Roundtable. So in order to win, we are forcing you to be a true Ask for Football fan.
That's great. I had a segue, Rob, and I lost it. Speaking of an As for Football fan, Rob, why don't you tell us about our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley?
Yeah, so if you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. It's Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran of the Army who spent her career in logistics. There, she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when you're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're relocating anywhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for the home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us again for Ask for Football for a second year in a row, which is awesome. We thank her for that. And she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. So if you're not moving to Fort Liberty, still reach out to Jocelyn. She'll help you find a realtor that you can trust. She makes recommendations and won't cost you anything. Reach out to her. Click on her business card on the Ask for Football website, and you'll be talking to her in a minute.
Thanks, Rob. You know, Dan, you talk about the Firsty Club. That's stirring up all kinds of memories for me. I have not thought about the Firsty Club probably since my Firsty year.
Man.
I spent a lot of time there. I used to do Yingling pictures. They were on sale every now and then. It was a good time.
If I could do one thing, you know, just step back in time for a couple of hours, the one thing that I would want to do is go back to the Firsty after the Patriot League championships were over, second semester, before I got really serious about writing my thesis, and just hang out with my teammates again on a Thursday night at the Firsty Club. That's, I mean, you know, West Point is like an iconic experience, obviously, but the one thing that I really miss about it is just hanging out down there with my teammates.
Yeah, no, it's, if I could go back and I would do things differently, like as a cadet, you know, knowing what I know now, but like if I could look back and relive kind of one aspect of the cadet experience, it would 100% be, you know, the Firsty Club on like Thursday night. That was good times.
Yeah. Good I mean, don't get me wrong. My wife and I sit out on the front porch now. We have a glass of wine and sure, it's fine. It's fine, but it's not the same. No,
it's not. Anyway, all right. Hey, well, while we're reminiscing, let's talk about what the Army team did last week. They scrimmaged last Friday. Lynn, our photographer / sideline reporter, said we saw basically what we expected to see. Lots of energy. Secondary made a lot of plays. Sounds like the defense might actually be better than last year. You know, as Rob always likes to caveat, you know, defense comes together faster than the offense. Defense typically looks better at this point in the season. They were a top 10 scoring defense last season, though. So it'll be interesting to see with the, you know, returning the production that they did, if they can, you know, meet or exceed those same kind of numbers and metrics that we hit last year. But I guess we'll find out. On that note, the Army Athletic Communications account released an initial unofficial depth chart. I'm not going to read through all 22 people plus special teams. You know, Rob, Dan, any key notes, any interesting position moves or people that we, you know, hadn't seen last year or did see last year finally getting the start that you want to call out?
So Sal on social media said that Army has 5 new starters on each side of the ball. But, you know, I went through the list and I think it's a little misleading because a lot of the quote unquote new starters have actually played quite a bit. Yeah. So, for example, Dwayne Coleman, you know, new starting quarterback, obviously, and probably the biggest unknown heading into the season. But that dude played something like 10 quarters last year. I mean, he took a lot of snaps last year. Tight end Parker Pulaski, I hope I said his name right, he's a new starter. Like, I don't think we saw him too much last year. All the wide receivers, William Fortner was expected to be out there. He's hurt right now. So all the wide receivers are new. And then Gavin Shields and Colin Madison are getting their first extended time on defense at safety and nickelback. But those guys have been balling out at camp. So I feel really good about how they're going to play. You know, Pulaski, we know, is a great blocking tight end. If wide receiver is arguably your biggest unknown at Army, I think you're doing okay.
Yeah, like that's almost a non-factor, right? You know, if the guy can block a little bit, like it's going to work out for Army. Like I said, I think, you know, the inside linebacker duo is probably the guys that I'm going to be watching, you know, the most this season, just because, you know, one of these two guys is going to become Captain America. It's typical in Army fashion. Like, you have two great linebackers in the middle and then one of them stands out better than the other one. Doesn't really matter which one, but I think, you know, in typical Army fashion, like, you're going to have one of those guys that's just going to produce better numbers and be like the most electric guy. He'll be the cornerstone of the defense. But I think, you know, 5 new starters on the ball, given the season that Army had last year, is probably not indicative of the play on the field.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. You know, Rob, you talked about those star linebackers. The Bills just signed Jimmy Carlo to the practice squad. If you have not been watching NFL preseason, Carlo has been a breakout star on this season's Hard Knocks on HBO Max. And really had to fight to get on the team. So, Rob, you know, you talked about it. When I was a cadet, you know, Alex Ockerman and those kind of guys were the linebackers. And then, you know, we've had so many good linebackers over the last 10 years of the Monken era. So it's really interesting to see who the next kind of evolution of that. And we've seen guys that have kind of you know, grown into that role and kind of started to show it their junior year and senior. And then we've had guys that rode the bench until their senior year and they got an opportunity and they made the most of it. So it's going to be really interesting to see who kind of anchors that defense and what it looks like. And even their style, are they going to be, you know, very aggressive and kind of up there on the line or play back a little bit? So it'll be interesting to see how the defense kind of takes shape this year, because it seems like every defense is a little bit different every year.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the, you know, that's one of the best parts about, you know, watching Army football. I had a discussion with somebody, you know, over the weekend. It's like, hey, why do you like watching Army? It's like, part of it is because, like, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a college football purist to the sense where it's like, I don't want any changes, because like, then we wouldn't have the forward pass. But, you know, if you look at it from the perspective of, you know, teams getting developed, it's like, there's no surprise that like the next guy up at Army is going to be good. Right. Yeah. There's because they've developed over time. And I think that's one of the biggest advantages that all the service academies have, you know, by comparison to the community writ large. And surprise, surprise, you know, even Dabo took people out of the portal this year. So you're literally looking at, you know, the last three holdouts of traditional college football, where I recruit a kid and try to develop him to his fullest potential by the time he's a junior or senior.
And it is really unique, right? The service academies have always been unique, but that kind of dynamic of, you're not going to play your freshman year or your sophomore year, and, you know, we're going to develop you into this, is unique. I mean, the only kind of notable other example of that in today's football is Arch Manning. But outside of kind of the one-off, once-in-a-generation, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's really just kind of Army. But speaking of how the game is changing and evolving, Army Athletics announced today that they will be selling alcoholic beverages at Mikey's Stadium for the first time ever this Friday. I know the old grads like Dan are very happy. I am sure that there is going to be more than one stupid entitled cadet who thinks that they're too cool because they went to 2 years of community college before they went to West Point. If I were still at my community college, I could do whatever I wanted. And they're going to go get drunk, and then they're going to get a brigade board. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that, of the cadet sneaking alcohol. But short of that, I think this is great. Good for Army, you know, kind of evolving a little bit. Dan, obviously, I know you lobbied very hard for this change, and you're going to be first in line when they open the gates, so you can be, you know, tap the keg. How are we feeling about this?
Well, first off, let's just talk about these cadets. Everybody knows that if you're a cadet, sneaking alcohol into Mikey Stadium is the move, not buying it at the stands. You know, you have to have some kind of non-metallic flask that you can bring into the stands with you. Like, everybody knows that, right? You guys
are looking at me now.
They do now. Am I the only one that did this?
I guess so.
I think it's wild. I've been at a couple of games where, you know, your buzz starts to wear off at halftime, and it's like, I might need to go get another beer. So we'll see. We will definitely see. I don't know that I'm going to buy a beer this Friday, because I do have to drive home. And so the walk up from the first E+, screwing my head off for 3 hours of the game might actually be important to our physical safety. I don't know. Just saying.
You're going to have a beer at the stadium. It's okay. Like, you can admit it. It's fine. Well, speaking of things we're going to do before the game, shall we play a game, gentlemen?
Shall we play a game?
I love that sounder. I had to play it.
What are your game watching rituals or pre-game rituals? Dan, I think we know yours, but why don't you go ahead and walk us through it? What is a day in the life of Dan on a Saturday watching Army football look
like? Yeah, man, I have like a whole deal. I, you know, get up early and go hit the water for 2.5 miles, maybe 3 if I'm feeling froggy. Come outside, set up 3 TVs on the back deck, and then put the calories back via my favorite malt beverages, as you guys know. And I really enjoy it. And let me just say, James designed this segment, and it was supposed to be like this game show where we guess things. And I was like, we're not doing quizzes. So when he finally comes back on the show, he can run this the way he wants. But here we are. I made this
up. Here we are. Rob, what about you?
Yeah, certainly not good at the pop quizzes. I never was, and probably will never be good at those. But for me, you know, Saturday morning, get up early, have some breakfast, set the TVs up, start watching College Game Day. I usually watch the first hour with the sound on, and then after that, I can't take it anymore, and I jump over to the Fox Big Noon Kickoff. So I usually have both of those running at the same time. And then, you know, right around 11:45 is when I start populating all my screens so I can see which games are on, and then cranking up, you know, just watching the games. And then usually halftime of the early game, if it's Army, is it's pizza and beer time. So we get a halftime special and just enjoy the rest of the day. It's interesting because I usually watch the games twice. So I watch the Army game on the big screen, watch the front seven, and then I go back and watch the highlights to see like offensively what happened. Because like, quite frankly, I'm probably the worst person to watch football with because I'm not watching the skill positions. You know, I'm watching the defense and offensive line. So like, there's a couple guys that I text back and forth with, some guys in the, you know, in the firsty club, but there's a couple old Army football players that, you know, have text thread with, and we're like, hey man, did you see that Deke leader? And then we're like grading the offensive line. It's silly. But yeah, that's my Saturday.
Y'all have way too much time on your hands. Oh my gosh.
I got my two kids out the door.
Well, fair. I guess you have 18, 19, whatever, 20 years of making up for lost time. So I'll give you that one, Dan. Rob, what's your excuse?
I don't know, man. Just constantly got the brain moving, man. I think it's just trying to stave off old age, you know, keep it active. Ray can speak to that. The more you use your brain, you know, the less likely you are to lose it.
Listen, I have watched the Army Navy game sitting next to Rob while Army was getting the snot beat out of them, and he was the calmest person in the stadium. So I got to give it to him for those rituals, because I was ready to lose my mind that day.
Yeah, no, it's that's an emotional game. And you gotta be like, when you're watching Army and you're invested and involved, you gotta be like, pick who you're watching the game with very closely. I was, you know, a couple of years was in Boston. I was in Houston for a graduation. I'm at this graduation party, and I was like, hey, the only reason, like, my condition of being here is that I have to watch the game, right? So I was sitting there watching the game. And you know, some guy who was like in the Air Force, Air National Guard, wanted to sit down and talk shit next to me. And I was like, I'm gonna punch you in the face, man. Like, not the time. So anyway, I agree. You gotta be careful about who you watch the game with, right? Not everybody gets it. So, you know, I thought I was a little weird in the way I watch football, but talking to you guys makes me feel a lot better about myself. So thank you for that. Speaking of making yourself feel better about yourself, Dan, why don't you tell us how Craig can save our listeners $1,300 so they can feel really good about their next home purchase?
So Craig Oxane, he is the area sales manager for the Money Store, is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states. Friends, he is a mortgage broker based out of Chicago and one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And this matters because getting a mortgage is confusing and very stressful. Interest rates move all over the place, especially now. You know, you got the Fed saying, oh, maybe we're going to move rates. You know, okay, great, maybe. So it's just not the time to deal with some clown who's trying to make a buck off you. You want to work with somebody who actually cares. You can call on the phone and like have a conversation with, you know, not some call center, not some mindless website. And of course, this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we are trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, as Jordan said, you know, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a $1,300 savings. $1,300 is a lot of money. And we always joke, send that money to Astro Football, but like, yo, we got expenses. You can. So anyway, go on the Astro Football website. You'll find Craig's, or for that matter, Jocelyn's little business card. Click on either one of them. You know, Jocelyn can find you the house. Craig can help you get that thing financed. It's just too easy. And you really, this is your one and only opportunity to work with somebody that you can trust.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's, well, like Dan said, interest rates moving up and down, 10-year treasury, there's a lot going on right now. And if you're trying to buy a home in today's market, it's difficult. Craig, someone that can help you with that. All right, let's talk Tarleton State. So I had to look up Tarleton State. They're in the middle of frickin' nowhere, Texas. So thank God this is a home game for Army, because it would be a very long travel day trying to get to Tarleton State. It's like an hour to hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Fort Worth. Once again, middle of nowhere. That being said, the Tarleton State Texans have a good FCS football team. They went 10-4 in 2024, made the FCS playoffs and won a game. For comparison, Army's FCS opponent last year, Lehigh, did this as well. So Tarleton State went to Portland State last week, won 42-0. It's a pretty good football team, right? They're looking at making the jump from FCS to FBS, and beating Army would do a lot to kind of help make that case to potential FBS conferences. Let's talk about the offense. Offensively, they run a Wake Forest-style slow mesh read option offense. It's honestly more of a run-pass option than a traditional collegiate read option. If the quarterback keeps it, he's going to throw it. That being said, quarterback Victor Gabellus. He was recruited to Washington State, found his way to Tarleton State by the way of Utah State, was last year's United Athletic Conference second team all-conference quarterback. Not much of a runner, but become a fairly accurate passer. Last week, he went 14 for 24, 152 yards passing and two touchdowns. Not bad for a season opener. They threw a lot of deep shots last week, but missed most of them. So it'll be interesting to see how Army's secondary is going to hold up against that. It took the offense a little while to get going last week, but they eventually ran for 301 yards and almost 8 yards a carry. They have a pretty solid running back in Trey Page III, 170 yards rushing last week, two touchdowns, 15 carries. It's a little more than 10 yards per carry. And then Cody Jackson and Peyton Kramer, both wide receivers, who had four catches each. Dan, reading through the kind of that offense, what are some things that stand out to you that we need to be mindful of as we prepare for this week?
I mean, they ran the ball, you know, really well in the second half last week, but when they couldn't run the ball, they also couldn't really throw the ball against Portland State. So, you know, and Gabellus isn't the guy who's going to take off on you. So they got to really stop that slow mesh running game, which was, by the way, which was excellent. Like, especially in the second half, they just started leaning on those guys. And then the other thing is they threw a ton of deep shots last week and missed most of them. So the one thing you don't want to do is let these guys take the top off the defense. You know, you just don't let anybody get behind you. It's fine to give up some completions, but I don't think that Gabellus is going to dink and dunk on these guys. You know, this is a running game to set up deep shots, and Army's usually pretty good with not giving that up.
Okay, interesting. All right, defensively, it's hard to say a lot about them after 1 week, especially since Portland State had three different guys at quarterback last week, and none of them were very good. Portland State had some success running quarterback power with true freshman quarterback Tyrese Smith, but even then they couldn't really sustain drives. Texans still gave up nearly 4 yards per carry overall. Rob, how do you think that defense is going to fare against Army, which is going to be bigger, more powerful, better at running the ball than Portland State was?
Yeah, again, it goes back to front seven play, right? You've got Generelli and Brady Small coming back, anchoring the offensive line. And again, we've seen enough guys rotate through the rest of the line to know that we've got some solid, you know, contenders up front. You know, I don't see us getting back-to-back Joe Moore awards because I think there are, you know, a lot of offensive line improvements just over the last year in the summer and transfer portal and all that other stuff. But I don't see their quarterback having enough time to take deep shots like he was doing, you know, all last week against Portland State. I think the defense is going to be a lot more aggressive. You know, again, like you probably don't have your complete blitz package in, but I'm sure Army has a blitz package to take care of this guy because, like, he's throwing a lot of shots over the top. Like, yeah, I'm willing to, you know, wager a guess that, you know, he's taking 3 to 5, you know, he's got 3 to 5 seconds, but that's purely predicated off of how long it takes them to feed the running back when they were running. So they are, you know, I wouldn't say they're a run first kind of mesh offense, but they certainly are a passing option for sure. But like the sneakiest part, honestly, of their offense is, you know, their sawed off running back that like can sneak behind the offensive line and kind of, you know, gash you a little bit. I'm concerned about that more so than I am the long pass, because that's what set up those deep shots. And literally it takes one or two of those to have an explosive play. And then, you know, the game has changed. But I think front seven wise, Army is going to have the better athletes for sure. And, you know, the quarterback for Tarleton State did not get hit much at all. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to take a couple shots, and that probably is going to change his calculus on how quickly he gets the ball out. So I'm assuming that he'll get knocked around. But just all in all, it's kind of an unfair assessment to see, you know, how their defense did, because like you're going against like, I'm surprised you didn't have like a kid with like a, you know, 58 snapping the ball, you know, like, hey, like he played quarterback in high school. We got to put him in, because they really didn't have much of an offense. So I think defensively we've got the advantage, but offensively it's really hard to tell. Like, yeah, you're going to get stops against a team that's forced to run because they can't throw the ball, you know? So it's like, it's kind of a false positive, to be honest. You know, like it'll be interesting to see this actually, this will be a good test for Tarleton State to see if, you know, defensively they can stop Army from running.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, Portland State could not throw the ball, and you're right. Tarleton State forced 4 turnovers last week. Ty Rawls had 2 picks. Omar Emmons had a pick 6, and then Jaden Aubert recovered a fumble. So Portland State was falling apart last week. And you know, Tarleton State kind of had an opportunity to take advantage of that and obviously shut them out. So there's something for the defense, but like we've been kind of saying, when your offense is that bad, how hard is it to actually shut them out? I don't know. Final aspect of the game, special teams. Texans looked a little shaky. Place kicker Corbin Poston went 0-for-2 on field goals. Tarleton State also muffed a punt and gave Portland State excellent field position, which they obviously did not take advantage of because they got shut out. And punter Charlie Mullen punted twice, averaged 40 yards a kick. That's decent, okay. I don't know. I guess I'd maybe expect to see a little bit better numbers. Either way, we're expecting gorgeous weather for the game, probably around 70 degrees at kickoff. Temps might actually fall into the upper 50s during the game, so Dan advises that you bring a long sleeve with you. As of writing, Army is a 15.5-point favorite. Over-under sits at 52.5. Rob, 52.5, to me, that's a little high. I think I would probably shoot the under. What do you think?
Man, it's a tough call, because if Tarleton State's offense gets going like they did against Portland State, like, yeah, they can hang up 30, 40 points. Yeah. Pretty easy. I don't see them doing that against Army's defense. You know, and the other part of it is like when you think about it, What's Army's, you know, formula for winning? And it hasn't changed over the last decade plus. It's, you know, control the ball, keep the opposing quarterback off the field, no matter how good he is. If he only touches the ball 10 times, he doesn't have much opportunity to score. So I think, you know, 52.5, it's reasonable, but like if they do, that's like scoring in garbage time, you know. It, like, and again, you don't get partial credit for, you know, a third quarter when all the starters get pulled out or something like that. But I think, you know, legitimately, mid 40s is probably reasonable, like a 30 to 10, you know, 35 to 10, something like that. I would definitely look at the under on that one, just because I don't think Tarleton State's offense is going to get going. And I think last week was a false indicator of how good their offense actually is.
Yeah. Dano, obviously 42, nothing, not great for Portland State. Tarleton State, kind of impressive. I know we've kind of caveated a little bit. Watching the game, were you impressed with the way they played and kind of came together, or are you sensing some other things going on at T-State?
Tarleton State has a good team. I'm not arguing that they don't, but this is a tough matchup for them in the sense that they're not very big. And the one thing that Portland State did pretty well was run the ball between the 20s, especially with quarterback power. And like that quarterback was a true freshman. You knew he wasn't going to throw because he couldn't throw. And really, if you were watching the first half of that game, Tarleton State should have put up 30 in the first half and pulled their starters at halftime. And instead the score was 14-0. And a lot of that was just because they were a little out of sync on those deep shots. But, you know, Portland State managed to hold the ball quite a bit, even though they couldn't finish drives.
Yeah.
And I think Army is going to do that same thing, only they're going to finish those drives. And I don't think they're going to give up the kind of runs that Portland State was giving up late in the game.
Yeah. And to pile onto what Dano just said, I found that interesting. Like I looked at it, I was like, man, these guys are up 35-0 and they haven't pulled their starters yet, you know? And that's a coach obviously telling his players, it's like, yeah, we're winning, but there's still some things that we got to work on, you know, like especially knowing that you're going into Army playing the triple option, like that makes zero sense, right? Like I'm going to try and keep my players as fresh as possible, but is it more important for them to get the game reps against the opposing team or for them to get rust going into Army. And so obviously that was the case, is like, hey, look, we got to make sure that these guys are wired tight offensively. Because if they would have hit some of those deep shots in the first half, they probably would have got pulled, and you would have seen a different second half. But the reality of it is like, if a coach doesn't pull his, you know, his starters when you're the opposing team is shut out and you're up by 30 points, like, that's an indication of something else that's going on in that locker room.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's going to be interesting, right? It's always in first game of the season, always interesting. We've lost. We had a great firstie class last year that we lost, right? Not discounting any of the underclassmen who are now in leadership roles. But it's going to be interesting to see how Army kind of comes together and how we perform against an FCS opponent. I like the fact that we're playing an FCS opponent. Kind of gives us an opportunity to go get battle tested a little bit. Would have maybe loved a really bad FBS opponent, but I'll take a decent FCS opponent. I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, what we do, what we come out with. You know, Lynn has given us, you know, bits and pieces from practice and things that we're working on. And, you know, it's in typical Jeff Monken fashion, we don't know what's going to happen until it happens. So we've heard all kinds of different things about how they're setting up in, you know, practice. And that's probably not going to be how they set up in the game, because that's just how Monken likes to roll. So I think it'll be an interesting matchup. You know, Dan, you talked about the ability of Portland State to run. Very bad Portland State team. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that we can get 4, 5, 6 yards a carry. Hell, I'll take 3.5 yards a carry, and, you know, kind of move the ball and use this as an opportunity to kind of work some things out offensively, but then also, you know, defensively. Rob, I know you want to see your guys, you know, pitch a shutout and do all those great things. But Brendan Jones calling for the air raid. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe, you know, hey, fourth quarter. You never know what's going to happen. Pull the starters, let it fly. We'll see. Maybe Monk will come out and do an air raid for the first try. You never know.
Line up 5 wide. But I will say, line up 5 wide with totally unproven wide receivers.
Full asterisk there. Hey, thanks, Dan.
Why not? You know.
all right. Hey, well, let's jump into fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Let's revisit the ones from last week. Dan said Army wins at least 8 games. Vegas sets the betting line at 7.5. Dan, are we refacting and fictioning these, or are we just reminding everyone?
We're just reminding everyone. James put in a section to revisit, and I was like, all right, let's just follow the format. So I thought we'd just remind everybody. I don't know how many people listened last week. I think a lot of people are going to be listening this week.
Okay. Rob said Army has 3 750-yard rushers. Omar said Army has a 1,000-yard rusher this year. A lot of expectations for the offense. Okay. So for this week, Dano, what do you got for us?
Fact or fiction, Dwayne Coleman runs for 100 yards. I say that because we all know he's probably a better passer, at least than Bryson Daly, and not as good a runner, at least than Bryson Daly, and there's a lot of weapons surrounding this guy on the ground. So I don't know where I fall on this. Thought I'd get your take.
Oof. All right, so I'm going to say fiction. It's first game of the season. So if you're going to use your weapons, you're going to use all of them. You know, You might see the QB power. I mean, it, like, they may go back to that if they have success, because again, like, if the B backs get going, I can see a healthy dose of, you know, fullback dive all day long, you know, for sure.
Jake Rendina against a smaller defensive line.
Yeah. Like he's probably bigger than, like, I didn't look at the roster, but I would venture a guess that Jake Rendina is probably bigger than the nose tackle for Tarleton State. You know, size wise, okay.
It could be.
And so I think you're just going to see a healthy dose of running, but it may not be Dwayne Coleman. So fiction.
I'm going to go fact. And, you know, Dan, you talked about, we have some question marks at wide receiver. I don't disagree that we're going to run the ball and give it to the fullback quite a bit. I think we're going to see a lot of that, but I don't think it's unreasonable to think that Dwayne Coleman might break it for 50 or 60 yards and have a long run, and then just kind of with that quarterback follow and some other things, you know, find his way 2, 3, 4, 5 yards up to 100 yards. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if this one was fiction as well, but I'm going to go fact.
I'm going to go fact as well. And I feel like everybody's nervous. And I know I'm nervous because, you know, I remember the Air Force game and the offense really struggled to get going. And you know, Coleman, we were used to watching the offense look one way. And then, you know, Coleman's out there. And I don't want to say he struggled because they won pretty convincingly. But that game, I think we all were looking for a bigger score. But that's kind of unfair that his one start comes in a Commander in Chief's game against an Air Force team that didn't lose another game that season. And we're like, are we sure this guy can run the offense? He looked good every other time we saw him hit the field. So I'm going to say fact. And I agree that he might break one.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Rob, I'm going to give it to you in just a second. But before I do that, shocking to no one, I did not prepare a fact or fiction this week. So you can go ahead and mark that on your bingo cards. But if any of our friends in the Firsty Club who are listening and want to throw me a bone and give me a fact or fiction, I would appreciate it. Rob, you're up.
All right. Fact or fiction. Army will have at least one tackle for loss, one sack, and one pass defended this week. 1-1-1 in basically all aspects of defense.
I will take that all day. I mean, I would take that against Tulane, man. Yeah, I think this defense is good. You know, you're talking about sophomore starting. Their returning starter at nose tackle this year is a Cal. He started last year as a yearling, and he was a badass. And I'm quite looking forward to him playing this year. I think he's going to be very good. And usually when Army has that good nose tackle, the rest of the defense just hums, and that is what I think we're going to see.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll go fact as well. I mean, Rob is kind of an easy one. I agree with everything that Dan just said. So we go fact.
All right. Fact agreement. You got two to choose from here, Jordan.
No, and thank you, Michael and James. Michael, you were first, so I'm going to give it to you. Fact or fiction? Army averages more pass attempts per game this season than last season.
Rob, what do you think? That is an interesting question.
That's a good one. I'm going to say fiction. I think, you know, Coach Monken's going to run the ball. I don't know if he's going to – I think he's going to throw when he wants to, but I think they're going to run a lot more, you know, just because they can, you know, and they have the tools to do it. Like when you look at the running back room between the A and B backs, there's plenty of talent there. And, you know, ball distribution is going to keep your quarterback healthy. So, you know, Dwayne Coleman, again, like we're riding this right now. It's kind of like Peggy Carter talking about Captain America. But, you know, as Bryson Daly has left, you know, I think we've got to do what we can to protect Dwayne Coleman. So I think they're going to run a lot more. And, like, having him drop back to pass creates opportunities for more shots. If the ball's moving, why throw? So I'm going to say fiction.
Yeah. Dan?
I'm going to say fact. Just because I think his strength is throwing the football. They've got a couple of tight ends who can really catch that we haven't seen. And, you know, now that you've got, at least until Liam Fortner comes back and you're looking for wide receivers, I think maybe you might actually see some of those tight ends get split out in a receiving type thing. And I'm not only am I hoping to see that, but I just think it's an interesting thing. And I think they might try to take advantage of that at some point this season.
Yeah, Dan, I stole words out of my mouth. I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, shorter passes. I know in the past, you know, the Army ways, we kind of lull them into a sense of security, and then we, you know, sneak a 75 yarder on them. But I think we're going to see some shorter passes, some passes to the tight end up over the middle. So I think that fact, I think we're going to have more pass attempts this per game this year than last year.
If you can hit a couple of those like 7 to 10 yards out, it does do wonders for your fullbacks running the ball in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, make no mistake. I want to see some halfback swing passes or screens. I'm not saying that I don't want to see that in the offense, but I think, you know, from a efficiency standpoint, you go for the high percentage play action pass vice, you know, a bunch of short dink and dunk ones. You know, it's just not the way that Army moves the football, you know.
I said this last week, you know, I really want them to steal that play that Navy was using, that counter screen that they were running to their slot backs. I would like to see Army just steal that one wholesale.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. Moving on to mailbag. Do we have a sounder? No sounder?
No, no sounder. Do I need a sounder? I don't know what does a mailman sound like.
I was just pausing, you know, waiting to see if we were going to pick something in there. Clearly, we did not cover this in our pre-production meeting.
All right.
Maybe it's a dog snatching his leg or something, you know, like he's getting chewed up or something. Delivering.
All right. Right. Hey, Firsty Club, what should the sounder be for the mailbag?
Yeah. Anyway, we solicited questions from the Firsty Club today. If you've got something you'd like us to address, you can email us through the website or hit us up on social media at AsForFootball. Matt from the Firsty Club asked, will K-State dropping its first game make a possible Army victory over them less valuable? Rob, what do you think?
I'm going to say no, and the reason why is because everybody, like if you look at the preseason hype, you know, they have K-State as a finalist in the Big 12, right? So I think I don't think it's as bad as everybody thinks it is, but it also depends on how well they play this week. So if they come out and they rebound pretty well, it's, you know, they lost in week zero against a rival. Like losing to a rival happens. If they get scuffed up against the FCS school this week, then that really puts them in a really bad spot against Army. So if Army beats them, then it's like, oh, well, they're just, you know, they're rebuilding this year and they have lost some of the shine. But you losing to, you know, your rival in an early game, and oh, by the way, both, you know, K-State, Iowa State, and Arizona State have all been talked about to be like tops of the Big 12. So I don't think that it's really going to impact them as much. But if they have a close game this week or lose to, you know, the FCS opponent and then have to take on Army, then we're probably having a different story. But as of today, no.
Yeah. Dan, in 30 seconds or less.
There's no way it matters because they've also got Tulane. They've also got Navy. They've also got UTSA. All three of those teams could and probably will be ranked when we play. If they beat K-State and they go perfect, then Army's getting into the playoff. And if they don't, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, it's a Power 5 team at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, excuse me, Power 4, right? It's Power 4. It wins a win. So would it be great if it was, you know, Nick Saban's Alabama that we beat at Bryant-Denny? 100%. But, like, a win over a Power 4 team, I will take that any day. I don't think it makes it any less valuable. If, you know, like Brendan just said in the chat, you know, beating a team in the top 25 has more juice, like 100%. Beating the number 2 team in the country would be fantastic. But a Power 4 team is a Power 4 team. So to me, I don't think it really takes away anything, especially for a program in a quote-unquote rebuilding year this year. I think it's still very valuable. All right, wrapping it up over here. Let's get into the favorite thing. It's a full week at Astro Football, right? We have ramped back up production, all the different things that you're used to seeing on social media and on Patreon and on the website are back this week. We're back, you know, season's in full swing. Join us on Patreon if you want to see anything and everything and really see the full power of the group. Or go check out our merch store, which has gotten a few more items over the last couple weeks. We talk a lot about Patreon. I've talked about our Firsty Club guys. You know, they are able to watch the show live while it's recorded, you know, leave comments, suggestions. You know, we have a Facebook group where they leave comments and have a lot of discussions.
Oh, by the way, they keep us in business. That's why we're here, because of those guys.
You know, yes, exactly. So they do keep us in business, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your charitable donations to the Ask for Football show to keep us in business. We're trying to legitimize ourselves a little bit more, you know, as this kind of grows from, a couple dudes, doing this once a week. We've changed, how we do the show. We've changed where we host it. We've changed how we write it. A lot of different things. So, appreciate your support as always. Join, please follow us on social media. You can join Patreon if you want to contribute financially, or get something from the merch store and you can get something, for yourself. And rep Army. But hey, at the end of the day, we have Army football this week, plus a full slate of college football games starting on Thursday. Thursday, we got football. Today's Tuesday. That's 2 days till football. And we will talk about that full slate of games on the College Football Roundtable show. If you see Dan at the Firsty, give him some space. Man, it's been 30 something years since the man has been out in public at the Firsty. So, if you see him stumbling and confused, trying to find his way to the stadium, and you're a cadet,
help my wife carry me up there.
I'm sure he would appreciate you, like, you know, helping him cross the street and get up to the stadium. You know, as people get older, they get confused and you add alcohol into it. It's, you know, recipe for disaster.
Hey, so if there are any cadets listening to the show, I fully expect to see a pre-positioned yellow laundry cart down by the Firsty Club so Dan has a ride up to the stadium. So please make sure that he has wheels, and he will do his best to remain vertical, but you guys know the drill. Like, he will not be the first or last person that has ridden from the Firsty Club in a laundry cart.
Rob, I know Dan shared some cadet secrets about the non-metallic flask. Rob, have you ridden home in a laundry cart from the Firsty Club?
I cannot confirm or deny that, since I don't drink, so you know that that was not a possibility for me. However, there may have been a friend or classmate or two that had ended up in a yellow laundry cart, particularly after branch night. Like, those are always interesting. And then I've also seen people get transported on the laundry hangers with a copious amount of duct tape.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting day when you step out into the hallway after studying and it's late nights and you hear somebody mumbling and muffling and they are covered in edge dressing and, you know, electrical tape. I don't know. God. It wasn't me. I didn't do it, but I have witnessed that.
And I might have seen that one myself.
Yeah, I think the only thing that may have been worse is a pillowcase with a lockbox in it, but that is a story for another time.
We should have an after-hours version of this show where we just talk about all the crazy cadet stories.
Rob's been talking about doing As for Football lifestyle during the offseason. That may happen this year. We'll see.
Interesting. All right, we'll see. Hey, thanks for staying with us if you've listened to us ramble this long, but appreciate the support. Go Army. Beat Tarleton State.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!